In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
During his ministry here on earth, our Lord Jesus often spoke in parables, which have been described as earthly stories with heavenly meanings. In Matthew 13, Jesus explained why he spoke in parables, so that his disciples would understand his teachings, and unbelievers would be without comprehension. In other words, those interested in the truth of the gospel will understand, and those not interested in the truth will not understand. In all, the Bible records about 24 parables, most of them in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. One of the most memorable of the parables is the parable of the prodigal son, which is part of today's gospel from Luke. The story is actually about two brothers. The younger brother asks his father for his share of the inheritance and goes off to a far country where he squanders it all on foolish and dissolute living. The truth is, some of us are like the younger son. We may not chase after worldly things like money, fame, and success, or spend our lives on sex, drugs, and wild living, but some of us are separated from God when we choose the good life instead of a godly living. And maybe we haven't used our time, talent, and treasure wisely and to the glory of God. Maybe we have been away from church too long. Maybe we haven't been reading the Bible as much. Or maybe we have not been too faithful in our prayer life. We dishonor and disobey God. And mostly, we want to do our own thing, looking to God only as a supplier of our needs, so we can get on with acquiring our wants. All that, my friends, separates us from God the Father. The Bible says the younger son separated himself from his father, and yes, his brother too. But thanks be to God, the younger son didn't remain separated from his father and family for too long. The Bible says when he came to his senses and realized how good he had it at home, he decided to return home and ask his father for forgiveness. He said, "I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" Those are words of humility and penitence, which the psalmist encouraged us to have. We read in Psalm 32, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt. I said, 'I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.' Then you forgive me the guilt of my sins." In the parable, the older son remained at home with the father, but distanced himself as much from his father as the younger son did. Some of us are like the older brother, thinking we are the good kid and not the proverbial black sheep of the family. We are the ones who attend church regularly, maybe sing in the choir, give money to the church, and always we are available to serve when Father Todd or the deacon calls on us. So maybe we can understand why the older son is angry. That all the attention now is on the younger son who hasn't been around to help at all. The older son felt deprived by the father. He complained that the father had never given him anything, not even a young goat, to have a party with his friends. But this older brother forget that his father had given him his share of the inheritance when the younger son got his. The older brother not only complains, but as some of us might do, he also chastises his father and criticizes his brother. Some of us are like the older son. We think that because we hang around church, which allows us to look down on our self-righteous noses at everybody else who is not good enough to live for God. Yes, we are like the older brother. We don't think we sin or can do anything wrong. But the truth is we are all sinners and need forgiveness and the grace of God. In the parable, God is that merciful and forgiving Father. So some theologians refer to the parable as the story of the prodigal father. It is true that prodigal can mean wasteful or careless, but it can also refer to someone who is extravagant in giving, someone who is overflowing in graciousness, someone who has an abundance of tenderness and love. Those are the characteristics of God, our Father. First, the father in this parable shares his estate with both sons. He almost recklessly and wastefully gives his sons their inheritance before he dies. And when the younger son decides to return home, again his father shows compassion. Luke tells us that while the younger son was still a long way from home, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. Then the father ordered his servants, "Quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." This celebration, my friends, was definitely on a lavish scale. It is the father who lavishes his grace on both of his sons. The father also goes out to the older brother who is angry and upset. He pleads with him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." Those astounding words also describe God the Father's love for you and for me. God generously offers his grace to you and to me. No matter which son in the parable you identify with, you can be sure of one thing. God loves you. You are always his child. And his grace is sufficient for you. Our God is gracious and extends unmerited favor to us in so many, many different ways. My friends, God has always shown us his grace. I don't know about you, but I have received God's grace all my life. And as Vivian and I celebrate our 44th wedding anniversary this weekend, I'm truly grateful of God's grace, His mercy, and loving kindness to my family. I thank God Almighty for His abundant grace, the grace that He offers me freely for salvation. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Ephesians, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So during this Lenten season, you and I can receive that forgiveness if we come in humility with penitent and contrite hearts, confessing our sins. We must continue, my friends, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.